Good afternoon. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program Public Affairs Show on KDNK. My name is Steve Mills, and I'm the co-leader and co-founder of Gay for Good Rocky Mountains here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Today, we're excited to continue our monthly program called Dimensions University, geared towards the LGBTQ plus youth here in our valley. Every month, we'll bring in local, state, or national nonprofits to speak about resources for youth and their families. We'll also highlight the successes, challenges, and stigmas facing queer youth today. In-kind support for this program comes from Gay for Good Rocky Mountains. Today, we're very excited to be joined by Jessica Weisbach, who is the co-founder and executive director of Brave Trails. So I always like to start our show by asking, what pronouns do you use and how do you identify?
First of all, thank you for having me here. This is awesome to be able to chat with you and talk about Brave Trails. And I identify as she and her. And I most closely identify with the identity of queer.
Tell us about Brave Trails and how it all came to be.
Yeah, so Brave Trails is an LGBTQ youth and family organization. And our biggest program that we have is our summer camp. And it is a fun, long, intertwined story with me and my wife's kind of history and story ourselves. So my wife, Kayla, who is the co-founder and also co-executive director, she had the amazing opportunity when she was, she was eight, to go to summer camp. She grew up in a house with just her mom, not a lot of resources, and her mom had to work all the time. And one of her teachers nominated her to go to this amazing summer camp for an amazing scholarship of like, I think they had to pay like $75, which I don't know if anybody knows anything about summer camp, but that's really cheap because summer camp's typically pretty pricey and for upper middle class, you know, folks, pretty white. And so like with Brave Trails, one of our goals is to really change that narrative. And really, Kayla had this amazing opportunity to go to summer camp, and she loved it. It really formed who she was. It gave her an outlet other than school. She struggled a little bit academically and was always told that academics were the most important thing. And then she went to camp and had this experience where that wasn't the only thing that was important. Who she was important, and how she was and the things she brought to the table were the important things. And so she always had this pipe dream. It was like, she calls it her astronaut dream, where she walked by the director's office and was like, that's what I'm going to do one day. And she thought it was just like one of those childhood dreams. Cut to us meeting. So I personally have a background in clinical psychology. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist. I focused a lot of my academic studies on queer youth leadership and development. I was doing that work at the local LGBT center, and she was volunteering, and that's where we met. And we worked really well together in the capacity of working with queer youth, that we were like, maybe there's something more. And then we started dating and all this sort of stuff. So like every good queer couple, one day we were driving home from the movies and we were like, what do we want to do with our life? Like, what's going to be our impact on this world? And we just started talking. She started talking a lot about her summer camp experience. I started talking about my experience with queer youth leadership and development. And we're like, well, what if we combine these two things? Like, what would that look like? And so we were like, that's a really cool concept. And I wish we would have had that when we were kids. And then we shopped it around to our friends and they were like, oh my God, you have to do this. It's amazing. And then eventually we put an amazing small team together that we're all working full time and doing this on the side. And we literally made spaghetti in our kitchen and charged our friends to come eat in our backyard to raise money for our nonprofit status. So that's really how it came to be, which just a bunch of positive feedback from our friends and so much support. It's incredible. And so we started that first summer with 1 week of camp for our campers. And we were like, if we get 15 campers, it'll be wonderful. And we ended up with 43 campers, which was just incredible. And then the next year we doubled 2 weeks of camp, and then I think about 100 campers. And then we went to 3 weeks and 115 or 20 campers. And then we were like, if we're going to really make a go of this, like we need to maybe focus full time on it and like do what we could do. And we were very fortunate at that point. Kayla and I were both able to go full time. And so we then expanded to a full 6 week program. So we have 6 weeks of camp, 5 weeks in Southern California, and 1 week in Maryland on the East Coast so far. So kind of how we came to be.
I got goosebumps. I have so many questions and I got to figure out where to start because that is so inspiring.
It's never felt, I just feel very honored and privileged to be able to do this because it doesn't feel like work. It's just amazing.
And what year did this start?
We had our first camp in 2014. So we had the idea, or 2015, sorry, 2015. We had the idea in February, and then we launched our first summer that summer, which was insane.
So who's your target demographic, and why is that the case?
There's a two kind of target demographics that we have. So we have our youth camp, but then we also have expanded into a family camp. So two kind of different demographics there. For our youth camp, we serve campers 12 to 18. And those are our general campers. And then we have a counselor and training program, which we call Unicorn Justice League, which they named themselves. And we just
have that's an amazing name.
Amazing.
I can see the shirt already.
Oh, we would have never come up with that idea, like never. So we let the kids name it. Those typically are previous campers, and they range the age between like usually 17 and 19. We do have some 20-year-olds, but that program is a two-year program, and they can go up to 19 or 20. And then our staff are 21. So our staff right now are 100% volunteer based. And so they come in for a session or two sessions, 21 and over. And we do that intentionally because we want our campers to have the experience to have role models, and to have folks that are successful in whatever field they're in and whatever they're doing, to help our campers know that they can do whatever they want in the world. And then our other demographic for our family camp, typically it's queer families. So right now that usually means it's queer parents, or LGBTQ parents and their children. And we really came up with this kind of selfishly because my wife and I adopted our son, who's now going to be 3 in a month, which blows our mind. We were always wanting a space for us, people that he could be with that had parents just like him. And so we also run, and that's like one weekend a year, basically right now. We're hoping to expand that, but right now it's 1 weekend a year. And so that's just queer families in general.
The initial program you guys launched, what does that typically entail? You know, so when the kids come to camp, what does camp look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I like to call camp a mix between a traditional summer camp and a leadership institute. And so really what we do is all the fun camp stuff, hiking, swimming, theater, dance, all the evening programs. We have had inflatable carnivals to water slides to campfires and night under the stars and all those fun things. But then we also have like our Leadership Institute, which is honestly what the kids look forward to the most, I think, a lot of times, which we bring folks in from the community. They volunteer their time to come do an hour or an hour and a half leadership workshop for the campers. And for us, what that really means is, of course, the hard leadership skills like public speaking and debate and things like that, as well as the more holistic approach where we really feel like if our campers aren't grounded in themselves, there's no way that they can go back to their community and be leaders. And so we focus a lot on mental health, identity. We give them the room to explore who they are and talk to other campers that are like-minded. We bring in doctors that talk about medically transitioning or not medically transitioning to answer all their questions. We have people come in talking about knowing their rights as queer youth in their schools and in their community. And we really feel like we can pretty much make any subject into a leadership subject. It's just how it's presented and the outlook that we have on it. And then we have what we call Passion to Action, which is our leadership program for the whole camp. And that's like we use public narrative, which is a storytelling technique, and it helps the campers identify their own personal passions and how to convey those to their community to create action and become activists in their own world. So for us, camp is just a launching point. We've never said that that's the ending. We always give them the tools and we expect them to go into their community and do the work.
So 100 plus campers, I mean, that's mm-hmm. a lot of kids. Where do they typically come from? Are they kids from well-off families, inner city? What is a demographic of that typically look like?
In a typical summer, we have about 80 campers per session. And in our Maryland session, our camp is quite a bit bigger. So we have about 100 people in that session, campers. And so the makeup is all over. Like I said at the beginning, we really want to change that narrative of what camp is. For us, we never want money to be the reason a kid can't come to camp. We give away anywhere between $40,000 and $70,000 of scholarships every summer. That's our mission and our value. We see kids from all over. We see kids from California, all over the country. We're international. I think to date have had campers from 9 to 12 different, and maybe somewhere in between there, we'll say 10 different countries, 30 to 35 states.
And how do people typically find you? You know, obviously the first thing is obviously I think it was the internet, but yeah. How do you get the word out that this even exists?
Yeah, so a few different ways. We do traditional outreach to like different school groups and GSAs, which is like the Gay Straight Alliances and the gender sexuality groups. But to be quite honest, it's social media. We're very different in our camp, where a lot of traditional camps, the parents seek out the camps for their children. And for us, our campers seek us out and then go to their parents. We've had plenty of campers that have come out to their parents so that they can come to camp.
So what are some of the successes you've seen with the camp?
Quite frankly, just the growth that we've had over the years, I think has been amazing. And this summer, unfortunately, with COVID, we had to really have a pretty reduced capacity. Thank goodness we're able to be in person and be in community in that way. So that's going to be a huge thing for our campers. However, it's very reduced, and it's a success and it's a hardship all at the same time. But we have a wait list of over 700 campers right now.
Wow.
And so there's a need. There's a need, and we just want to fill that need. So I think that's been incredible. I think another really big thing is I've always had the dream to having or creating a queer youth comprehensive mental health program. And I'm super excited. We've taken the last year to work on this, and we're going to be launching that program in September. And so we are going to have a 12-month training program for therapists, and we're going to have like a cohort system of 5 therapists to start with. They'll go through this training program as well as see our campers as clients. So I'm super, super excited about that. It's hard. I mean, like, I have my background in mental health, but you hear the statistics, right? Like, you hear, you know, the queer youth are 4 times more likely to have anxiety and depression and suicidal ideation. Like, you hear those statistics all over, and I've heard them for years, right? But actually going to camp and witnessing it, it makes it so real.
Living here in the Roaring Fork Valley, you know, we have really, really shocking suicide rates here. And, you know, a lot of the mountain towns in Colorado face that. And then again, adding on the fact, like I said, about the LGBTQ plus perspective, COVID on top of it. You know, it is very shocking. You know, I moved to this valley 6 years ago. You know, everyone thinks it's paradise, and it is paradise in so many ways. And when I started hearing about the suicide rates, I was floored, absolutely floored. And so, you know, then I know people who obviously identify as LGBTQ plus and the struggles they face with, especially a lot of our trans youth here in our valley. We have a large population of youth identify as trans male, trans female. And then we don't have the resources here to support them because we are in such a rural area. The nearest place for them to go is Denver, which is 2.5 to 3 hours on a good day to get there when you don't add in traffic or snow on top of it, which is challenging for a family who can't afford it, who has maybe transportation issues, or who just doesn't support their trans kid. So it's beyond inspirational to hear that you're doing this because there's such a need across the US and especially here in our valley. Any challenges you guys have been facing? Obviously, COVID's a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Without saying, it was a big challenge to pivot. We pivoted last summer to a 6-week online program. We had amazing staff and amazing program folks that just seamlessly created and completely new program in like 3 weeks. But it's been hard. I mean, it's been hard to be isolated. It's been hard to not be physically with your community. And like you're saying, the stories we've heard, you know, a lot, unfortunately, a lot of queer youth have been hospitalized over the last year dealing with these things. And thank goodness they have a place to come when they're able to and they're in the right place. And so I think that's been a big challenge. I think with any smaller nonprofit, you know, funding and continuing to fundraise and do all that stuff's always a challenge. It's a fun challenge for me. I'm one of those weird people that actually like to fundraise. So it's a fun challenge, but it's definitely still a challenge. Having enough capacity to be able to provide camp for all of those 700 kids on the wait list has been really hard. And to help shift that narrative to bring in more POC and more folks that don't traditionally have the opportunity to go to camp and folks in rural areas and things like that. It's been, you know, it's been a challenge to reach those communities for sure.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Dimensions and Diversity on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. In-kind support comes from Gate for Good Rocky Mountains. With camp coming up, summer's coming up, what does that look like in a, I don't want to call it a post-COVID world because we're not there yet. Things are obviously looking up, but what is it going to look like this summer?
This summer, very different for us than normal summers. We're having all of our campers, you know, quarantined to a certain extent, depending if they're vaccinated or not vaccinated and all that good stuff. And a lot of extra policies. We're having everybody tested and things like that. We're excited that we're moving into a place with the virus that there's a possibility to not have masks on 24/7 when we're outside. But for right now, everybody's going to be in masks. And what we're doing is we're doing like a pod system. So each cabin is able to be unmasked and together, obviously when they sleep and things like that. We traditionally don't really restrict activity. Like our programs are all mixed. Like we don't do any age limits or anything like that. It's all mixed. And so this summer there's going to be a little bit more of stay in your cabin rather than being able to be mixed with the whole camp. Largely the program's going to be the same. It's just going to be retrofitted.
So how can our listeners get more information about Brave Trails?
Yeah. So big thing is our Instagram. So at Brave Trails, Facebook is just at Brave Trails as well. And then our website, if you just go to bravetrails.org, check us out. We have all of our information on there, our stories, our team, ton of videos and pictures to kind of see what we're up to.
And I think that that's, you know, our, the youth listening to the show today, as well as our parents, you know, I really encourage them to take a look at your website, get to know Brave Trails, because this is something we don't have access to here in Colorado, to my knowledge, but there is that accessibility and there's the option out there. And I think about when I was a kid and, you know, I knew at a young age I was gay, and this was nowhere on my radar. This is not something that was even thought of X amount of years ago. I'm not going to, I won't say how many decades ago, but, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I wish I had that opportunity when I was a kid to do something like this and be around like-minded people that, you know, can help build you up and help build a community within a community. That's just, again, like I've said 100 times on the show, it's so inspirational that you're doing this, because the need is beyond great out there.
What it's built off is just something that we wish we had ourselves.
Yeah. So what's next for you now that life is getting somewhat back to normal?
I mean, camp is literally around the corner for us. So we are just in that end stage of getting everything ready for camp. And then this year we're up at a site in Big Bear. So we're super excited to be able to spend some time up there. And yeah, I mean, like that's dominated our life right now. And our almost three-year-old.
That in itself is a full-time job. And I meant to ask this earlier when we talked about this being, you know, in Southern California, and you just mentioned Big Bear, which I know is outside of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Is it typically take place in Big Bear, or do you rotate the locations? I know you also mentioned Maryland.
Yeah, so we rent a site. We don't have a permit site yet. And so we have recently been right outside of Los Angeles, in the Angeles Forest up there. And now this summer we've moved up to Big Bear. So yeah, we just are, we tend to stay with one site if it's available, but because of circumstances and COVID, we weren't able to operate out of our normal site. And then in Maryland, it's an amazing partnership with this camp. It's a Jewish overnight camp. It's called Ari and Louise. I'll give them a good plug because they're amazing. And it's a partnership with them. So we really work with one another. They do a lot of outreach. They help us manage the program when we're there, and definitely work with us in a large way.
So Jessica, what do you want our listeners to take away from our conversation today?
Ah, good question. I mean, I think the biggest thing is for our youth, they really need that community, and to help them build that community. If it's program, if it's coming to Brave Trails, if it's doing our virtual programming, because we have tons of free virtual programming as well. So they can access it from any place. They don't have to physically be mm-hmm. at camp. So for me, the big takeaway is to just foster that community for our young people, as well as that leadership aspect, because their voices are often stifled and they have a lot of amazing things to do and say.
Well said. Thank you so much, and happy Pride Month.
Yes, you too. Thank you for having me. This has been wonderful.
You've been listening to Dimensions and Diversity on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. In-kind support comes from Game for Good Rocky Mountains. We've been talking with Jessica Weisbach, who is a co-founder and executive director of Brave Trails, a camp geared towards LGBTQ+ youth and parents. If you'd like more information about Gay for Good and their upcoming events, visit gayforgood.org/Rocky Mountains. Thanks for listening to Dimensions and Diversity on the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program.
I was just poking through your website while I was listening to.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah, it's so cool. And I just have to reiterate, I was a camp kid. I went to camp, and there I got so much when it came to independence and autonomy and feeling a sense of community. And I've always been like a big proponent of camp with like my friends' kids and stuff like that. And the idea that there's something out there specifically for LGBTQ youth is just, I want that. I wish I had had that, you know, in Nashville. growing up.